Nau yo chandipadipa puja. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambara yutena dopenahang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana umutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujayami pudang kesumenanena punenang metena ce hotumokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabawang adivasetuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatumutamang adivasetuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatumutamang adivasetuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatumutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of the incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. Offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Bedang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pujeme. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can start our meditation. We are off the light. So everybody here before, it's very easy. So for those who already have the spiritual faculty, you can proceed straight away. For those who still need to decondition your heedless thinking and develop the training of mind, you can do so too. You can start off by using the skillful means to develop the deconditioning of your heedless thinking via mind sweeping method combining with metta. And for those who feel that they are more adept to whatever object of meditation that they have developed and trained, you can also stabilize your mindfulness or sati via your object of meditation. You can use any that suits you. Anapanasati is the one recommended by Buddha because it's very neutral. So when you develop anapanasati, just a reminder, we are here to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath, not to focus and not to concentrate. But initially, if you want to go into some form of concentration or absorption, is up to you. You can try to experience it. When the mind is in absorption or in concentration, when you try to focus on it, you find out for yourself what happened. Then later on, you can understand what I mean by a conditioned state. The concentration and the focusing, the one-pointedness, or what we call absorption, they are just various mind states that arise due to condition. So when you do focusing concentration or absorption meditation, which is normally energy field, you will go into that. Then your mind like easy to become peaceful and calm and go into all those silent or stillness and absorption. But this is a conditioned state. You can experience them, no harm. But the ultimate understanding is very important because anapanasati is to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. It's not the focus. So later on, as you become more and more skillful, as you develop the understanding, then you can release it out, the whatever concentration. Then go back to mindfulness training. It is mindfulness that can set your mind free. Without mindfulness, your mind will go into some form of concentration or absorption. So today, like I sent out through the email, it's based on a summary draft of the initial transcript of this 36 lesson of our Six Patriarch Platform Sutta sharing at Wu Ping Jing Se. I think this one is about the first one third of the sharing, but it's very good. And this one explains to you clearly what meditation is, so that you don't fall into the trap of all this thought based meditation, conditioned state meditation. And it will help you understand. But it doesn't mean you cannot do them. You can do them to find out for yourself the difference and to understand for yourself the difference, so that later on you can explain it to people. And if there's condition for you to share or to teach, you are in a better way or better position to do it. So don't worry about because I had this feeling that some who listen to my recording later on, when they have the understanding or when their faith is stronger, then they tend to have this like one-sided type of thinking. They say relatives, they don't touch energy field, so they don't want to have anything to do. So they try to maintain mindfulness. It's very difficult when you do that, because you may not have the clear understanding. But if you have developed the five spiritual faculty, and then very easy, then you can follow what I tell you. But the problem is most people don't have the spiritual faculty. That's why they find it very difficult to develop the meditation, to make the mind peaceful and quiet. But meditation is not about peacefulness, quietness, or silent and still. That's why in the Zen tradition, if you do that, you are no different from the Buddha statue, except that you have a quiet mind. And this quiet mind is held peaceful, quiet, still, by energy field, by absorption, by concentration. So this is not a free mind. This is a conditioned mind, held by thought. So later on you understand. In the Sutta, Huining explained it very clearly. He even quoted the Vimalakirti Sutta, where according to Vimalakirti Sutta, there was one incident where Sariputta was meditating underneath a tree in the forest. Then Vimalakirti, the lay person, the lay bodhisattva, walked by. Then he actually asked Sariputta, "What is it that you are doing?" Sariputta said, "I am meditating." And he was reprimanded by Vimalakirti, bodhisattva. He said, "Are you sure this is meditation? Meditation is not about sitting quietly in stillness, unmoving, no thinking, no heedless thinking, in perfect absorption and silence. That is not meditation. The real meditation is very different." Then later on the sutta continue. I will explain later. Okay, now I will let you develop your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. Or maybe 25 minutes. We have more time. Okay. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that are now slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6, we will do the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Satthammam Munirajasa Sunantu Savanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanakalo Ayam
Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarti Sata Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang weditabo vino heti supatipano bhagavato sawakasango mujupatipano bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Nyāyapatipanno Bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Sāmicipatipanno Bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Yadidāṁ cattari purisa yukāni Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Rakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuterang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadu Sadu Sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripajam. Bedang pecemi Damang pecemi Sanghang pecemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by Q&A and Dhamma discussion. Okay, is there anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question? Anybody? Just put up your hand. Okay, don't have. Then like I send out the email. Those who have the email, you can open it. Then we will do the sharing there. Like I mentioned just now, this particular transcript sharing is very good. We should actually thank Puan Chi. She was the one who actually sent me the draft transcript. She just completed it about 3 days ago. Then I vet through. Then I managed to edit about 10 to 11 pages. Then because today is Thursday class, then I find it very useful. What has been shared inside there is very beautiful. So tonight maybe we make use of our time here to develop the sharing of this particular sutta. It's based on the 36th Platform Sutta, Huining's Platform Sutta, 27th of November last month, 2016. This sutta, chapter 4 of the Platform Sutta, is very beautiful. The title is Samadhi and Wisdom. But in the text, it's translated as concentration and wisdom. So the correct word should be samadhi. Now I will read out and share with you. Today is the 27th November 2016. We will continue with our 36th Patriarch's Platform Sutta class. We are at page 206. So please turn to page 206. And we will continue from there. The master instructed the assembly, good knowing advisor. The single conduct samadhi is the constant cultivation of maintaining a direct straightforward mind in all places. This is very important. That's why I put in bracket. Whether one is walking, standing, sitting or lying down. As the Vimalakirti Sutta said, the straightforward mind is the Bodhi Mandala. The straightforward mind is the Pure Land. So this Expatriate Platform Sutta's opening statement is very profound. It's exactly the same as what I have been sharing with you all earlier on. Except that here they use a different word, a different name, single conduct samadhi, to express it. So how do they define the single conduct samadhi? According to Huining, it is the constant cultivation. But in the text, okay. they use the word practice, like I explained the previous Thursday. Practice is not such an appropriate word because when you practice something, it's repetitive, mechanical. But when you cultivate, it develops understanding. So constant cultivation of maintaining a direct, straightforward mind in all places means the constantly meditative and ever mindful. This is what heedfulness is all about. So it's the same. So this single conduct samadhi is actually the cultivation of the continuity and stability of mindfulness to develop the meditation, which is heedfulness. Master Hui Neng explained it this way. If the mind can maintain a direct, straightforward, silent mind in all places, whether one is walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, it actually includes the in-between movements. There is whatever activities or movement between the four postures. Then he quoted, as stated in the Vimalakirti Sutta, the straightforward mind is the Bohi Mandala. Bohi is wisdom. Mandala is like a way place where you cultivate to develop wisdom. Bohi Mandala, the direct, straightforward, silent mind, is your true mind or pure land. And this is very good and profound Dhamma. So this part, you can understand, is going to become very beautiful. The Vimalakirti Sutta is a very unique sutta, but it's Mahayana Sutta. You will not find it in the Theravada texts. This Vimalakirti is a very wise and a very unique Bodhisattva. He likes to come in a layperson form. According to the sutta, he had met not less than 90 million Samasambuddhas, and he has a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding, and he's a very unique Bodhisattva. Okay, we shall move on. Do not speak of straightforwardness with mouth only. This is from the commentary, Sino's commentary. Means verbally. That's why verbal knowledge is not actual wisdom. If you cultivate verbal knowledge, you will not realize enlightenment. You can never progress. So do not speak of straightforwardness with the mouth only, while the mind and cultivation are crooked. Do not speak of the single conduct samadhi without maintaining a single conduct straightforward mind. Simply just cultivating, keeping a straightforward mind and have no attachment to any Dhamma is what you are supposed to do. See, this is what meditation is about. Then Sun Hua said, the confused person is attached to the mark of Dhamma while holding onto the single conduct samadhi and saying, I am sitting, or I sit unmoving, and falseness does not arise in my mind, means no false thinking. So they claim this is the single conduct samadhi. Such an interpretation serves to make him insensate and obstruct the causes and conditions for attaining the way, because he holds on to the concept, the idea of a single forward mind or straightforward mind, you can never realize the way, because they didn't know that there are two types of silent mind, or still, tranquility, stillness of mind. One is the conditioned state, the other one is a free mind. Then good knowing advisor, the way must penetrate and flow. This is the key to enlightenment. How can it be impeded? If the mind does not dwell in Dhamma, the way will penetrate and flow. The mind that dwells in Dhamma is self-bondage. It's in self-bondage. To say that sitting unmoving is correct is to be like venerable Sariputta, who sat quietly in the forest but was reprimanded or scolded by Vimalakirti, Bodhisattva. Do you know venerable Sariputta? The foremost chief disciple of Sakyamuni Buddha with the foremost wisdom. Regarding this, there was a passage in the Vimalakirti Sutta. It seems there was one incident when Venerable Sariputta was sitting quietly in the forest meditating. Then Vimalakirti Bodhisattva passed by and saw him doing the meditation. Then he spoke to Venerable Sariputta. "What are you doing?" he said. Sariputta answered, "I am cultivating meditation and meditating." And the way Vimalakirti reprimanded him actually woke him up. He said to Venerable Sariputta, "This one you must listen. Who told you that meditation is just sitting and moving like that?" Then after that, he explained the real cultivation to Venerable Sariputta. "If your mind is quiet, peaceful, still and silent when you are in a stable posture, that is not meditation." You understand now? That's why without the daily mindfulness, without the ability to be silent and still in the midst of life, you are not meditating. That one is training, experiencing peace. Okay, we will continue. If your mind is quiet, peaceful, still and silent, when you are in a stable posture, that is not meditation. That is trying to actually bring forth the condition for the mind to be very calm. So indirectly, you are seeking peace, quietness and silence. You are experiencing the conditioned mind. The real meditation is in the midst of life itself, in the midst of activity, when you can still be peaceful, silent, still and unaffected by whatever life situation or condition. That is the real meditation. So now you understand. Yes, I know about sitting can actually bring about enlightenment if you don't have the path and the understanding. So all this will bring forth the condition for you to understand all this teaching very clearly. At that time, very Venerable Sariputta has not developed the understanding as yet. So later on in the sutta, it was mentioned there was an incident where there was a very famous great being whom all the Buddhas of the entire universe respect. They will send their representative, or they themselves will go with their disciple to pay their respect and make offering. But because this being that they're supposed to pay their respect and gratitude or whatever, if I'm not wrong, is Vimalakirti, is very wise, extremely wise. Hence, they have to be more careful. At that time, everybody was trying to suggest who should go. Then everybody pointed at Venerable Sariputta because he was the wisest among Sakyamuni Buddha's disciples. Venerable Sariputta, when he heard about Vimalakirti's name, he straight away told the Buddha and the congregation, "No, I cannot, because I'm of no match for his wisdom. He had reprimanded me before." Finally, they had no choice but to finally seek out Manjushri Bodhisattva Vinsu Pusa, who is also foremost in wisdom. For Manjushri Bodhisattva has reached a very high state of cultivation, having completed the perfection of wisdom. So that was what the sutta was all about. So this is the reason why Hui Ning actually mentioned it here in the Platform Sutta. Then Hui Ning said, "The mind that dwells in Dhamma is itself bondage. To say that sitting and moving is correct is to be like Sariputta, who sat quietly in the forest but was reprimanded by Vimalakirti Bodhisattva." And this is the story behind. So if you have not read Vimalakirti Sutta, you may not understand this particular section of the Platform Sutta teaching. So this one is for those who have not heard Vimalakiti Sutta, then this will help you. Now we shall go into the commentary and see what Master Xuan Huang said in his commentary. Master Xuan Huang's commentary: you should not speak of directness and act dishonestly. If you greet rich people with smiles and compliment, then saying welcome, one welcome, or in Mandarin, is huan ying, huan ying, when in fact, it's not man, sorry, it's not the person you are welcoming, but you are after their money, their power and status instead. So that is flattery. If you speak about single conduct samadhi, but you act improperly, such hypocrisy betrays a crooked mind. But if you cultivate keeping a direct mind and straightforward mind, a sincere mind, a silent mind, then your mind is the Bodhi mandala. You should manage all your affairs with a direct, sincere mind and have no attachment. So the key to meditation, like I said, always must have this sincerity. Then you won't debate. Then no clinging, no grasping, no attachment. A stupid person gives rise to Dhamma attachment. So they will comment, they will say, I sit here unmoving and I have no false thinking. This is equivalent to the single conduct samadhi. Master Xuan Huang said, such a person is foolish, he is completely wrong. One who thinks this way turns into a vegetable. I don't know why he used the word vegetable in the Mahayana. Zen monastery, if you sit like a statue, not moving like a rock, do you know what they will do to you? The Zen master will come and whack you and tell you, we have enough Buddha statue here, we don't need another one. So you understand, huh? So if you just blank your mind and go into concentration, you will get the appropriate treatment from the Zen master. When you sit there unmoving, no false thinking, no thought, what are you doing? See, this is the inquiry. You are like the statue, isn't it? Correct not? Yeah? The statue also no thought, isn't it? True or not? Also unmoving. The statue is also unmoving, also no thought. But I think what Master Xuan Huang meant could be this. The Mandarin word vegetable. You know what a vegetable is? When a person got stroke, or when they got no more control over their physical body or senses, they say they are like a vegetable, which means you cannot have any movement or activity physically. So maybe you are conscious, but you cannot move, you cannot talk. So in that sense, it could be a simile. But the actual meaning is, they meditate until no thought, which means their mind is in absorption or in one-pointedness energy field, a conditioned state. This is where a lot of people go wrong. The next part you listen, this one is very good. Then they say their mind is unmoving and without any false thinking, without the heedless thinking or mental thinking. Even in that state, Huineng say it's not the real meditation. So you have to be very careful when you meditate. That's why when you meditate without understanding, you can become gullible. Especially if you go to a retreat with all the tranquil setting, the peacefulness, and you do a lot of sitting and a lot of formal meditation until your mind becomes very calm, very still, very silent. No more false thinking. No more movement in very strong absorption or one-pointedness, jhana, etc., thinking that you have done well, then you believe you have progressed and you equate those experiences to enlightenment or awakening. Then you are actually deluded because there is a conditioned mind held in energy field, hence not a free mind. That's why for those who understand, especially the Zen master, they will tell you this. We don't need another Buddha statue here because we had enough of them. And have you forgotten the purpose of you meditating? You all agree or not? Yeah? A lot of people go for meditation. What do they look for? Huh? The good experience. You can meditate until like what the sutta say. I tell you, you will think you are really, really very good. You have progressed very well. You meditate until you are in total stillness. No heedless thinking, silent. Nothing can move you. In that state, you sure believe you have progress very well. But the one that understand meditation will know that this is still far away. This is still thought-based. You are still trapped in the conditioned mind. Then I go on. Let us go into this to develop clearer understanding on what is the purpose of meditation according to the Buddha and the understanding of what is meditation. Come, give it a try. First purpose is for what? Why do you meditate? Yeah? Why do you meditate? You want to be free of suffering, yeah? You want to become enlightened, yeah? So what makes you enlightened? Yeah? It's only wisdom, isn't it? Nothing else free your mind, yeah? Then what are you doing? Cultivating all the strong calmness, stillness, the various fantastic meditative mind state, thinking that you can become enlightened. So this part is very important. First purpose is for what? Just now I heard somebody mention something like to see the truth. Who was it? Oh, Miss Lee, right? To see the truth means what? To see the truth means to realize the wisdom. Because only wisdom frees the mind, nothing else. So you have to bear that in mind. Huh? Just like what I always explained to you all, even if you can sit in meditation to experience all of the fantastic meditation, the calmness, the stillness, until you got no more thought, no more false thinking, so what? After you come out of that meditation, you still need to go back to life. You will become heedless again because you have not developed the wisdom and the understanding. We are the direct seeing as yet. Your anusaya are not rooted out as yet. That's why in the midst of life, you cannot cope. Now you understand why you go for meditation. Do not be gullible. Don't always believe what others tell you. Nowadays, there are a lot of meditation being taught. Some very well known internationally. And they have this usual 10-day retreat. You join this retreat, and because of the conducive condition there, the beautiful setting and nature, etc., your mind will be very calm, very peaceful. And you can experience a lot of good meditative state. Hence, for the first two occasions, a lot of people would endorse that this particular meditation is fantastic and very good. But then they didn't know that this is just a conditioned state. It's like you experience some beautiful mind states because of the conditions there. So what? Meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is not about just seeking calmness and peacefulness. It is about insight into the characteristics of nature to develop wisdom so as not to be deluded by the phenomenal world, not to be entangled by the delusion that arises in your mind when you are lacking in understanding and wisdom. So basically, this is very important and very fundamental to the whole cultivation. And this is what Hui Ning is trying to point out to all those people under the Platform Sutta. So now you see, yeah, and have a clearer understanding of what meditation is all about. Like I said just now, you can experience them. Don't be frightened. But understand that they are conditioned state. Cannot liberate your mind. That's why last time I used to tell you all, no amount of retreat or formal meditation can actually bring forth the awakening unless your path is very special. It is the daily mindfulness, the stability of sati, silent mind, That's like the straightforward mind in all posture, sati sampajana. Without that, you have to hope you have your path. Otherwise, it's not easy. It's near to impossible. Because if only in the retreat or formal meditation, you are peaceful and maybe with some form of heedfulness. The moment you come out of it, you are back to square one. Then like the Buddha said, the heedless are accepted. You don't stand a chance. Well, most of the time, you are in the midst of life and you are still heedless. You cannot have that type of mind that you experience in the retreat in the midst of life. You cannot go because you are not heedful. You are not aware. So I will continue. If you can, then it is good, and I rejoice. Oh, sorry. The first part is I ask them. So now can you all follow? If you can, then it's good, and I rejoice. Otherwise, a lot of people will not be able to accept what I said earlier on. All along, I've been telling you the same thing. If you go for a retreat just to sit and develop all the fantastic, beautiful, meditative mind state, the jhanas, the tranquility, the stillness, the calmness, until your mind, like, no more false thinking, no more thought. Then you believe you have done very well because you experience fantastic mind states. You see nimitta. You can lock into it. You can build up all the energy field and develop all the psychic ability to see images, which you think is your past life, and a lot of other things. Like you can read mind and see your past, and all those things. But to the Buddha, these are not the meditation that he taught. That's why he warned the monk at that time. He said, if you train your mind to develop psychic and perform psychic, you are violating the monk's precept of Patimokkha. To show off and impress people with your ability of mind and all those things. That's why for those who understand, they will not rely on this. They will not really pay attention to all those phenomena. No point, because without wisdom, your mind can still be entangled. You can still be deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactily feel and think. The phenomenal world still has power over you, and you can still be afflicted when you confront the First Noble Truth realities. The 8 types of First Noble Truth realities, starting from birth, old age, sickness, and death, leading to separation. When you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, expectations in life are not met, etc. You also fail to understand who you are and what you are. The 5 aggregate of form and mind, they appear so real to you, and you grasp, cling, and hold on to it. The Buddha summarized all of suffering as the self-delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto the 5 aggregates of form and mind, which is the human being. We are thinking that that's what you are. That's why he said the 5 upadana khandas or grasping aggregate is dukkha or suffering. So this understanding is very important and very fundamental to understanding meditation. You meditate and still cannot understand who you are and what you are, what these 5 aggregates of form and mind are, and how when you attach, cling, and grasp, suffering comes to be, then you are not doing it right or correctly. You cannot insight into phenomena to realize the impermanent leading to suffering. And because they are impermanent, condition arising, dependent originating, hence it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. And therefore, all this can be mine. There is no such thing. So if your meditation does not lead to such understanding or awakening, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then it's just like what we call Wai Tao, externalist type of meditation. These are the meditations that are more interested in the psychic field, in energy field, and seeking out fantastic meditational experiences. Okay, we shall move on to page 207, paragraph, third paragraph. As two people and give rise to Dhamma attachment, I sit here unmoving and I have no false thinking. This part we have gone through. This is a single conduct samadhi. So people who say that, he is completely wrong. One who thinks that way turns into a vegetable. We were here. So now you understand. The way should flow without obstruction. Means what? If you have wisdom, you will know how to accord and flow. You will not resist anything. If you stop your thought, you turn into dead ashes and rotten wood and become useless. So this is what meditation is all about. You remember last time I used to tell you, don't suppress, don't control your thought. Don't do anything. Just allow it to be. Be aware. And you will understand. Don't try to know. Stop your thought means what? Yes, good and sadhu. If you try to stop your thought means you are suppressing it or controlling it. So this understanding is very important. You cannot suppress and control the thought. The question is, who is controlling? Who is suppressing? The thought we say, I don't want to have any thought because it makes me heedless and think a lot. So I have to stop the thought. Who is saying all this? Yeah? Who is saying all this? Ah, the thought. So the thought wants to suppress. The thought wants to control. Not understanding that the controller is the control. The thought is trying to control thought. Thought is trying to suppress thought. How can you do that? It's like you are trying to control yourself. How can you do that? If you don't have violence and anger, there is no need for suppression and control. But if you have violence, anger, emotion and fear, then you try to control. What are you trying to do? You are being stupid, isn't it? Because the fact is, you are violent, you are emotional, you are selfish, and you have fear. That's why you must cultivate until you have developed the wisdom to liberate the mind. Then there is no need for control and suppression. Now you understand, the foolishness of practice letting go. Understand? It's exactly the same. If you have anger, you practice not to get angry. Where got such practice in this world? Because the evil roots are still there. And who practice? The thought practice. As long as you are still deluded, you will get angry, I tell you. Because it's not rooted out. So all this understanding is very vital and very important. So here is the same. Okay, I will continue. Because the fact is, you are violent, you are emotional, you are selfish, and you have fear. That's why you must cultivate until you have developed the wisdom to liberate your mind. Then there is no need for control and suppression. Then naturally, when you have the wisdom, there is no need for control, no need to suppress the thought. Thought is just thought. Listen to this. Like what I have told you all before, thought is neither good nor bad, just like money. Then why do you say money is the source of all evil? And thought is the one that caused you all the heedlessness. This is the reason why you want to control and suppress thought. That's wrong, because if the user of thought, it's the user of thought that is more important, or the user of money that is more important. If you have wisdom, there is no more problem. You don't have to control, you don't have to suppress. Thought can just arise due to response to memory. And what is thought? Thought is condition arising, dependent originating, impermanent, not real. If you grasp and cling and hold, it leads to suffering. Meaning you grasp and cling at the wrong thought. But if you don't grasp and don't cling and understand that thought are just an instrument for you to use to live life, then it will be different. Because you will know how to use it appropriately with wisdom, with understanding. Then what happened? Thought becomes your friend. It will serve you well. Then you can make use of it to arise the right thought, the wholesome thought, following the Noble Eightfold Path, based on right view and right understanding, which is wisdom. Then thought becomes wholesome. Thought becomes beautiful. Then you don't have to control thought. When there is wisdom, there is understanding. There is no movement because it doesn't deludedly latch on anymore. It doesn't cling. It doesn't have to think anymore because there is no more fear, worry, anxiety, and delusion. It understands. It sees things as they are. It echoes and flows, and it can be with the moment, with all things. No more rigidity, no more resistance. Think it's just the way it is. That's why with this understanding, the whole of meditation and cultivation becomes very different. Now you understand. That's why all of meditation start off with the wrong understanding. When you don't have the correct understanding, you will do it wrongly because you think thought is the problem. Thought is the one that makes you heedless, that creates the division and all those things. But you do not understand that all this division and heedlessness come from your inner delusion. If you have wisdom, all this will not arise. Like the Buddha said, without a spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will arise. And when the mental hindrance are there, the evil roots are there. That is how thought can make you evil, brings about downfall, and brings about negativity of mind state, which includes all of your fear, your worries, your anxiety, your sorrow, your insecurity and lamentation, etc. They all come from your delusion, nothing else. Hence, meditation has to be developed with understanding. It is about developing understanding and wisdom to liberate the mind. Always remember, don't try to control or suppress anything. Think it's just the way it is. Develop wisdom. That's why mindfulness is to silence your mind, to see clearly how this mind that is entangled with the wrong view arises the causes and conditions for you to become evil, for you to become heedless. And through that understanding, you just have to straighten your views and reverse all this retrospectively. Then with that understanding or wisdom, you are no longer deceived, no longer deluded. Then the five aggregates of form and mind will become different because it now understands how it becomes entangled, how it gets itself drawn into all this via delusion. That's why Huining is very wise. He straight away knew this is where the problem is. Almost all meditators and cultivators go into energy field because they love that type of meditation. Because they can straight away become so calm, so peaceful, no more thought, no more false thinking, enjoying the bliss, the piti, the sukha, the very strong energy, and all of the nimitta experiences, including all of the byproduct of this meditation, which is energy field, thought-based, and psychic-based. Then like the Zen master said, even Huining also said, this is not the real samadhi. This is not the one that can bring forth the wisdom. This is the one that traps you. That is why in the Zen way place, if you go there and sit like a statue, and every day doing sitting and walking, then sit, thinking that by doing this so-called meditation, one day you will become enlightened. Then they will give you the frog analogy. We are telling you, if by sitting you can become enlightened, then all the frog would have become arahants, enlightened, because they sit a lot. So it's not the sitting, it's the development of wisdom. When the Zen master knew that you are doing concentration or samatha meditation, they will come and hit you and tell you, we have another Buddha statue here, we don't need another one. Now hopefully you understand. That's why daily mindfulness is very important, and it is the key to development of wisdom, to the development of wisdom. The formal meditation, the retreat, can be useful for you to train your mind initially. But then the real meditation is life itself, daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Can you maintain the silent mind, the type of so-called free mind that is in samadhi without control, without suppression? That free mind, through its own understanding and wisdom, connected to the form and mind, becomes beautiful. Because when it is no longer deluded, then the mind serves you well and it will listen to you. It will make you beautiful. Then you can use it to develop wholesomeness, cultivate virtue, goodness, and love, so that you can become a blessing to all. This is what meditation is all about. This is what meditation is for. That is the reason why I say, when you have developed the right meditation according to what the Buddha has taught you, it will bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. You will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right effort, right living or livelihood. Then right mindfulness and right samadhi. If whatever you do in the name of meditation makes you more egoic, and with all the fantastic meditation experiences, and it does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation to transform your personality wise, character wise, and wisdom wise, then you better check, because that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. If your emphasis is only on the jhanas, on the calmness, the peacefulness, the stillness, the fantastic nimitta experiences, and all the various type of fantastic manifestation of mind, when you reach those so-called deep samadhi or deep samatha concentration mind state, that is a deviation, because that is not what the Buddha taught. The first 6 years before his enlightenment, the Buddha learned from all those teachers, those meditation, and he did all those energy field thought-based meditation too. That's why he was stuck, and he knew. This is the reason why he left them and continued to seek on his own. So in a similar way, Hui Ning, the sixth patriarch, where his platform sutta, pointed it out to you very clearly, that this type of meditation is a deviation. Okay, with this we'll move on. The way should flow without obstruction. This is the next one. If you stop your thought, you turn into dead ashes and rotten wood and become useless, like another statue. You should instead produce a thought which is nowhere supported. You remember the Diamond Sutta that states, the mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. In Mandarin, what do you call it? Xing wu guai or xing wu suo zhu. Meaning your mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. Can you have that type of mind? Can or not? That is real meditation. I explained before. This is a revision for you. You listen carefully. This one can help you a lot. Your mind doesn't dwell on anything. The silent mind that is able to have the direct seeing will not dwell. Do you know how do you dwell? What is dwelling? The Mandarin word is zhu, which is very good. Dwell is like you live somewhere, like a place where you stay or dwell. Do you know how your mind dwells or not? How do you dwell? Throughout the day, you arise, thought, and you have been dwelling everywhere. How do you dwell? The minute you perceive something, you dwell there. Can you understand? Then the moment you perceive, you think, you become heedless again. That's why the silent mind is a meditative mind, and the silent mind, which is sati, is capable of direct seeing. What is the definition of sati? Sati is awareness before the knowing. And what is knowing? The aggregates of mind. Perception is one of them. The moment you perceive, you know through memory. How do you know my voice? The moment you perceive you dwell here, then you are not aware of the outside world. The moment you perceive the Buddha image, the instant your mind dwells there. The worst is when you dwell, you allow your conditioned mind to condition you into further thinking. Wow, this Buddha image is very nice, very beautiful. I wish I could have one. Where did you buy it? So this proliferation of thought, if you are not mindful and not aware, it already takes you off tangent and makes you heedless, lost in thought. You easily become heedless. And this is how dwelling can make you heedless. So the mundane mind dwells everywhere because it perceives. But when you have the silent mind, the true mind is just aware. It sees things as they are. It does not dwell. That's why you can just be aware, aware and aware in the midst of life. It just flows. Everything just flows. The mind and the phenomena as one. Means specific phenomenal awareness. It just flows. It doesn't dwell. But to live life, you have to arise your thought, and you have to perceive. But when you have the understanding and the wisdom, you can perceive without attachment, without dwelling on it, without getting lost in it. It just perceives, aware, aware, then perceive again, etc. That's what meditation is all about. That is the reason why you have to meditate until you can realize and understand all this, so that you can produce a mind, a free mind that does not dwell anywhere. That is Zen, and that is meditation. That is heedfulness or Appamatta. And you have to be in that state in the midst of life most of the time. That is why the real meditation is not what people think. Now you can follow, huh? How many of you cannot follow? Everyone cannot follow. Wow, kao la lang. Can follow now, otherwise I slow down a bit. Very good. This is going to be very good and very interesting. You listen. I didn't know this chapter already talked about this. Actually, when I was sharing that chapter at Wuping Jesus, I didn't know it was already talking about it. But all along, I was trying to get you all to understand this. Because this one is very difficult for you to accept, one I tell you. Nobody will believe you that you go to retreat and do all those fantastic meditation. You are not doing the real meditation. Who will believe you? Everybody look forward to that experience. Oh, how was your retreat? Wow, very beautiful. I can sit quietly, still, my mind no thought. I was very, very mindful most of the day. After that, come back, healed again. That's why if you don't really develop the understanding, you can be trapped. Huineng said, you should produce a mind, not thought, which is nowhere supported, or the mind that has no dwelling. By attaching yourself neither to emptiness, to existence, nor to Dhamma. Now, this is very important, If you attach to Dhamma, you are still caught. If you attach to emptiness, you will be caught deeper. And when you attach to existence, you will become more deluded. That's why all this you must understand. No dwelling by attaching yourself, neither to emptiness or existence, nor to Dhamma. This is Xuan Hua's commentary and interpretation, because theoretically they are talking about this. You neither attach yourself to emptiness, because the word emptiness is non-emptiness. This is my explanation. And the understanding of emptiness is just a knowledge, not the word. Nor to existent. You know what existent is? The phenomenal. All of the phenomenal that you experience in the phenomenal If you dwell attached and cling, you will get into trouble. Nor to Dhamma, for Dhamma is the truth that can allow you to realize the wisdom and understanding to live life. So if you attach to Dhamma, you get into big trouble. You argue with people, understand? Not? No, the Buddha say this. My teacher say this. Dhamma is like that. You must let go. I tell you all this Dhamma. You will get into trouble if you don't understand them. But if you attach to Dhamma, then what happens? If you dwell on it, attach to it, and want to argue about it, via right and wrong, then you will have problem. You want to be right, so you want to challenge others. Then it defeats the whole purpose. That is attachment. Dhamma is the truth. Truth liberates the mind, frees the mind. It is an understanding. The moment you understand, the mind is liberated. The mind realizes itself and set itself free. That's why the mundane mind that realizes itself will cease to be. Then you will realize Nibbana. It sees the delusion in doing all those things, the foolishness in doing all those things. That's why meditation is mainly about wisdom, not doing. The moment you understand, you are free. But the moment you don't understand, you become the same, continuously deluded and heedless. You will continue to hold, cling, and react to sense experience through your views and opinion and conditioning. Because you lack wisdom, you cannot understand truth, the reality. You cannot see things as they are. You see things through your tinted perceived views and opinion and conditioning, your memories, your conditioned mind, your store consciousness, storehouse of consciousness, accumulated knowledge and experiences of life. Everything that you hold on to, clung on to, your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your happy and unhappy moments, your misery, etc. You hold on to them and accumulated them all. Then you retain them all in your memories. Memory is useful, but it is not for you to store all those psychological memories that give rise to suffering, which can condition your fear, worry, and anxiety. Because all these are wrong memories, wrong thought. That's why I always teach you all how to understand what wrong thoughts are, which is more important. What is wrong thought? Thought that conditions your fear, your worries, your anxiety, your sorrow and lamentation, etc. When you project your thought, you worry about the future. When you recall the unhappy past, the scars of memories, then it conditions you to be unhappy. It also includes thoughts that condition your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your doubt, which are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Without greed, you cannot be selfish. That's why all these are wrong thoughts, born of wrong view. When you understand that all these are wrong thoughts, then your mind that understands via this wisdom will enable you to straighten your view. You will then not create all these wrong thoughts anymore. Then you will diligently learn how to develop, through right effort and right view, what constitute right thought. What are right thoughts? All of the good and wholesome thought that brings about love, compassion, kindness, goodness of heart, respect, gratitude, contentment, harmony, peacefulness, happiness and joy, etc. are all right thoughts. So apart from the Brahma, four Brahma Viharas, right thought of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy and equanimity, there are also a lot of other right thoughts, like thoughts of generosity, respect, contentment, sincerity, etc. These are all right thoughts. Then thought of gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, goodness, all these are also right thoughts. Then the thought of love to help other people, so as to be a blessing to all, is also a right thought. Then to have faith to develop the spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, leading to wisdom, or panya, are also right thought. To be in the state of awareness or mindfulness leading to heedfulness is also right thought. Then to enable you to cultivate the first two of the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen and to prevent the arising of wrong thought, you must understand what constitutes wrong thought. Then to enable you to cultivate the third right effort, which is to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you. You have to understand what are right thoughts, which are still not in you. Like the thought of kindness, goodness, generosity, good emotion, love, and compassion, etc. Just like the Mandarin video which I just sent out that morning for sharing. What does it say? The one in Mandarin, Pichi Yao Hao, remember? The first thing you must have if you want to improve your life greatly is what? Take care of one. The word in Mandarin that says, if you have the vital virtue. How come my this one went away? I had to retrieve it. It goes off so fast. Okay. I got it back. Just like the Mandarin video, I finished this. The word in Mandarin, they say, is if you have vital virtue in you, all of your problems will fall into place and get resolved. What is that? Yes, pichi, which is your anger, your emotion, your mental negativity. Pichi yao hao. Pichi hao. Yiqie dou hao. That's why you don't have that understanding, you don't have this goodness, this kindness. Then every time you hit out at others, all these are evil roots, roots of all evil that will make you evil. That's why it will bring about downfall. Your business will fail, your relationship will fail, your marriage will become miserable, and your children will have problems with you. Even when you go to office, you don't know how to communicate with your colleague and staff, interact with them, because you don't have this goodness and kindness in you, this understanding in you. So meditation is all about Noble Eightfold Path. That is right view leading to right thought. All the right thoughts. You should check your life. How often do you cultivate the right thought? Your gratitude towards people. Towards what people has done for you. Whether it's a part of your nature to thank people sincerely for what they have done for you. For what they have sacrificed for you. Then rejoice in all the wholesomeness and goodness that people have done for you. Then be sensitive to people, understand the world, understand fellow living beings, understand your loved ones, and understand everything. To do that, you must have wisdom. Only then can you feel for them, so that you are not selfish. Otherwise, you always think for yourself. Think of yourself. And selfishness is a very strong evil root that is always there because the mind will come back through the back door to deceive you. Again, we are telling you to consider selfishly, for me or not for me, advantage to me or not, otherwise I won't do. All these are selfishness. Nothing to do with my family, my business, I don't want to get involved. No advantage to me, I don't want to know. That's why you don't have love. You don't have sincerity, generosity, kindness, and goodness. You are not able to help people. You are incapable of kindness and goodness. That's why such people cannot develop virtue, because they don't have sincerity and they are very selfish. They always think of advantages and motives. So meditation has a lot to do with Noble Eightfold Path. That's why life itself is the meditation. There is only in life you can apply Noble Eightfold Path factor, and this is real meditation. If you cannot develop a mind that is free, that understands, that does not dwell, you will suffer. You know when you dwell on your unhappy past, what will happen? Meaning you hold on to your grudges. You know the meaning of grudges? In Mandarin, it's pronounced as 仇恨. Those who know Mandarin, they will know, 仇恨. Meaning you hold on to your vengeance and grudges so strongly. So a lot of all this, when you understand, You will develop the wisdom to straighten your view and to reverse all this. You understand that all this brings about downfall, brings about wrong thought, cause your karmic nature to fall, and it will make you weak and miserable. When you understand that you hold the key to your own life destiny, you will never allow yourself to become afflicted again and become so deluded anymore. That's why you will wake up and you will change overnight. You will not do all those things again. This is real meditation. Because the moment you understand, you are free. You can liberate your mind. Okay, can you all follow? And then somebody answer can. Good. Then we read on. Attachment to Dhamma results in attachment to existence. And attachment to existence results in perishing in emptiness. But when you are unsupported, the way will circulate freely. It means when you don't dwell, when you don't deludedly grasp, cling and hold, you don't have suffering. You become free. Your mind is liberated. And there is nothing in this world that can bring forth the condition for you to have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, or even the slightest unhappiness. No more, because you see clearly that form and mind with the wisdom connected. Understand that all these are not real. Condition arising, dependent originating, only form and mind, and he know you, he know me. Just like what the Buddha mentioned under Dhammapada verse 1. Oh, sorry, Dhammapada verse. He said, my son, my children, my wealth, my property. These only the fools or foolish one lament, for their very body also doesn't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein wealth, and all these things. That's why those who have wisdom, they understand all this. They will not cling, they will not hold. But they also understand that the conditioned world is the conditioned world, and the existential world is the existential world. In the existential world, there are things, even they are not real in the ultimate sense, but they are still subject to its sets of nature's law. For example, the law of karma recognizes relationship and things, but that pertains to the form and mind, nothing to do with ultimate wisdom. With true wisdom, or in true emptiness, as stated in the Heart Sutta, there is none of all this. So when you have the understanding, and the understanding of the existential world, meaning the mundane and the supramundane, then you will have developed perfect wisdom, that it will help complement your understanding. Then you can live anywhere on both sides. You understand the unconditioned and the conditioned world. That's how your mind can transcend duality, transcend all the phenomenal world, like the lotus. It will arise even though it is from the muddy pond, but it will stay above the field to blossom into full blossom. That's why it is so beautiful, so unique. That's why the symbol for Mahayana enlightened being is the famous lotus flower. Okay, this part is very good. Then the way will circulate freely means you are free to move. There is no resistance, no impediment. There is no rigidity. You just echo and flow. The mind that dwells in Dhamma is in self-bondage. This statement is very powerful. When you dwell in Dhamma, you create the Atta, the self. You create the attachment to Dhamma. That's why it's self-bondage, sakayadity, or self-delusion. You get attached to the meditation, Dhamma, and sitting without moving, you tie yourself up and become a prisoner. Sariputta, the foremost of Sakyamuni disciple in wisdom, sat in forest quietly meditating, but the layman Vimalakirti Bodhisattva reprimanded him, saying, what are you doing? What use are you sitting there? Like a corpse. It should be like a statue. So this particular chapter, chapter 4, is very useful. That's why the title is about Samadhi and Wisdom. Yeah. So we should rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This one is just 1/3 of it. Huh? I just managed to finish and do this. So I was thinking, before the end of the year, you must have this understanding, so that the coming retreat, you will know what to do. Yeah. Then from now onward, I tell you, even you go for a retreat or you listen to any talk, your understanding is going to be very different. You are no longer like before, gullible, not understanding all these things. It is very common for cultivator to make this mistake, even so-called Buddhists. In fact, a lot of cultivators, including monks, they don't have this understanding. They believe in sitting a lot of diligently sit, making themselves peaceful, calm. Oh, in fact, I received one WhatsApp. Oh, very good. Cindy suddenly sent me a WhatsApp. Oh, Thailand. Cindy from Thailand. Ah, Moses, why? You all received that? Huh? You all didn't receive? He said one long pause before, I think, his message before he passed away. Where is Cindy? Oh, Cindy, Thailand, okay. This one. Okay. This is what she wrote to me, yeah. When the mind resists growing still. Because this one, I think, came from somebody who asked the question. And this one is this famous monk who replied. Achan Duna Atulo. Gifts he left behind. Anybody heard of this monk before? Anybody? Oh. Nobody. It seems he's a very famous monk. Yeah. Okay, I read to you. In practicing concentration, see, he used the correct word. No, in this case, it's practice, no, because it's concentration. That's not thought-based. That's why repetitive. There is no way everybody will get result at the same speed. Some people get fast result, others get slow result. There are even those who never seem to gain a taste of stillness at all. Still, they shouldn't get discouraged. The act of making an effort in the area of heart is in itself a higher form of merits and skill than the act of giving gifts or observing the precept. A large number of long pause students would ask him, I've been trying to practice concentration for a long time, but my mind has never been still. It keeps wandering off outside. Is there another way I might be able to practice? See, this is very common, isn't it? They come to realize the moment they are out, they cannot deal. Long Po would sometimes recommend this other method. When the mind isn't still, you can at least make sure it doesn't wander off far. Cannot. Yeah? If it's not still. Yeah. But they cannot do. He said, don't allow it to wander off far, which is not a bad advice. But this is still thought, understand not? You know, wander off far means what? You are lost in thought completely, understand not? Proliferating. Completely heedless. But not allowing the thought to wander off too far means after one or two of those thoughts, or a few of those thoughts, you become aware, understand not? Then not so bad, understand? But the real cultivation is not like that. If it can wander, means what? Means what? The spiritual faculty are not there, understand? That's why without spiritual faculty, you have to train, you have to meditate, understand? You have to do all those funny things that I tell you, understand? When you have the spiritual faculty, you are in the midst of meditative state. Because no more mental hindrance means what? Nothing to hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Now you understand? That's why without spiritual faculty, you try to make the mind still and silent. You have to go into energy field, understand? Method and technique and concentrate. This is like practicing letting go without wisdom, understand? Like just now the sutta said, if you have anger, means you have anger. That is a fact, understand? Don't try to control and suppress the anger, understand? Don't try to pretend that you are not angry, understand? I don't want to be angry because it's an evil root. So I yan, means what? You are not developing patience. You are actually suppressing because you don't want to get angry. You think it's an evil root. And all this cannot free you, cannot liberate you. Then I read on. When the mind isn't still, you can at least, according to Longpo, make sure it doesn't wander off too far, which is not bad. Means develop awareness. Use your mindfulness to stay mindful solely on the body. This is not bad advice. Anchor your mind to your body. Kaya Nupasana. That is the first category of practice under the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why Anapanasati is one of them. Four posture is one of them. Then Sati Sampajana is the full one. That's why you don't anchor to your kaya. I tell you, you are dead. You cannot develop mindfulness. The stability of mindfulness comes from daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, nothing else. Mindfulness and clear comprehension means every moment you are aware. Like the maintain the straightforward mind, understand? The silent mind. Otherwise you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. You cannot even come near to it. Look to see it as inconsistent, stressful, and non-self. Develop the perception of it being unattractive, with nothing of any substance to it at all. When the mind sees clearly in this way, it gives rise to a sense of dismay, disenchantment, and dispassion. These two can cut through the clinging aggregate. This one is not bad, understand not. But it has still not given, maybe it's just for beginning stage, he teach them, anchor to kaya, then learn to actually silence your mind, to see all this, to contemplate and reflect when you sweep through your body, the 32 part and all those things, the 9 stages. So this one is the initial understanding, is just developing some contemplative wisdom, not to cling, not to grow. But this one, very difficult to free you from sakayadidhi. You understand? Because the 5 aggregate of form and mind is the real one. That one you cannot penetrate, that they are impermanent, leading to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, and cling on. And say, this is not me, this is not I. Without the anatta lakkhana sutta, you cannot break free. You understand? So you look for impermanence, stress, and non-self. No point. You look through your thought. You look through your Dhamma. So all this is not getting you free. But here, what this long Paul teaches is reasonably okay, because what is happening is he anchored the mind. He advised them to anchor the mind to the kaya to develop mindfulness. Then stay mindful solely on the body. Then look to see, means through the direct seeing, I hope, that this body is impermanent, inconsistent, stressful, and non-self. Then develop the perception of it being unattractive and all those things. This is also taught in the Kayanupassana, the other 32 part and 9 stages of cemetery contemplation, the 4 elements and all those things. But if you don't develop the daily mindfulness until it's very, very stable to really, via the silent mind and the direct seeing to insight, no amount of contemplation can really wake you up unless you have your past. Yeah. Then when you contemplate until you're very stable, then there is a possibility. Because through those conditions, it can trigger off. Yeah. But the real one is that the what they call type of wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya, means when you awaken via the meditative training, it's not the second turning wisdom, which is contemplation, contemplative. Contemplative and the first turning, you must have your path, very good path. Then, like Hui Ning, listen to one stanza, the mind already awakened. You must have that. Otherwise, you have to go for the third turning. Okay, this part she sent to me. Then I reply, Sadhu, and thank you for the above sharing, Cindy. I asked, are you back in Malaysia? How are you and Mossy getting on? Hope you are both fine. Then I just hinted to her, without the five spiritual faculties, especially sati, the mind will have mental hindrance and become heedless. Hence, impossible to have stillness in the midst of life. But when one's daily mindfulness is very stable, then stillness of mind is automatic. Understand? Yeah? And very easy to have. That's why I say not until your daily mindfulness is very stable, you have yet to do the real meditation. You remember? I always tell you all that. The real meditation starts when you have this stable mindfulness, stability of mindfulness. Then only you can see. Then only you can understand. And at the same time, you have to go through the pariyatti, the learning or the teaching. Means the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Contemplate, reflect until very clear. Then with that stability of daily mindfulness, you keep on understanding. Because you see it, it arises. And you keep on awakening to it and understanding it. But without the pariyatti, followed by the contemplative wisdom to stabilize the understanding and the daily mindfulness, it's near to impossible. Unless you have your past. Then he said, I'm at home. Mossit is now a Novik monk at the forest monastery near our house. Ordained for 3 months. It's winter now. So Mossit, you see, very cute, huh? Now real monk. No more wear white. Yeah, that's why Cindy very happy. Then I thought she was in Malaysia. Will you be here for long? Or will you be here until when? You will be here until when? Sorry. Then he said, no, I'm in Thailand. And go to the forest temple for Dana, a precept and Bhavana. My Kuti is my home. The tree house, remember? Yeah? Then he said, ha 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 ha. Then I replied, Sahadu. So there are a lot of people who find it very difficult to develop stillness of mind, silent mind, but not understanding that they lack spiritual faculty, understand? No. Actually, when your spiritual faculty is there, you are in a meditative state straight away. No need to train, no need to do any of those things. Those are for those who don't have. That's why they need to train. That's why I put here, you remember? Here, practice means what? Huh? Practice means what? Initial training of mind. That's how you practice. This is repetitive, mechanical. Like cooking. You practice until you're very skillful, understand? But this is not developing wisdom, understand? You just train the mind. But then you have to use it after you train. And it has to be in that state in the midst of life. That's why after the formal meditation, after the training, you're supposed to come out. But a lot of people thought, if you don't sit, you don't go retreat, you are not really seriously meditating. The real one is your daily mindfulness. You go in to train, like a gym, more conducive, then you train. After you train, you have to carry this mind state into your daily life. I always emphasize during the meditation class, after you meditate, I say, for those who still want to meditate, go on. For those who have enough, slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Why did I say so slowly and mindfully? Because it's very difficult for you, for most people who initially do not have the stability of mindfulness to develop this mindfulness. That's why you have to slowly do it initially. Then after that, when the mind enters the sati, like I used to tell you, you train until this mind becomes very subtle, very still, like no more movement. All of the meditation object also very subtle. Then what do you do? Huh? What do you do? What do you do? Don't do anything, understand or not? Don't go and do sitting, touching, and all the funny thing to create again the thought, understand or not? You're supposed to silence everything and just be with it. Then that silent mind will arise. It will develop because you are actually entering the phase of more refined mindfulness. And this more refined mindfulness cannot arise if you verbalize again. If you arise the thought to meditate again, to do this, do that again, who is doing? The thought is doing. And thought is capable of what? Dwelling on thing, understand not? In the name of meditation. Who is meditating? The thought is actively meditating. And when thought is active, there is no silent mind, there is no sati. Get this understood. That's why just silent, relax. Then what did I say here? Don't try to know. Relax into every mind state, then it won't develop energy field. Then even if you are in energy field, when you relax, it will help you because all this energy will melt into your nature. Then just maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Forget about contemplation also when you are in a formal meditation. Come out, then only contemplate and reflect. Or when you are out of that stillness or silence, then when you are in the midst of activity, then you reflect, you contemplate. Yeah. Then 24 hours means continuous awareness, mindfulness, heedfulness. Later on, go into your sleeping state. Then trust. Trust means completely surrendering. No thought involved. Let the nature do. Then the movement is free flow. Understand? Like what Hui Neng say, you must not resist anything. Means in harmony, accord and flow. And this is what the real meditation is all about. If it involves the thought, then it's thought-based, it's egoic. The mind cannot understand. But when thought ceases, that original state, which is the true mind, the silent mind, will manifest. The moment you are silent without thought, you're already aware. Don't try to be aware. Don't practice awareness. Don't do all those foolish things. Now can follow. Hopefully now clearer and clearer. But this is very difficult to understand. And a lot of people, I tell you, they got frightened when they hear this. How can you meditate without thought? Understand? Without doing anything. That is not meditation, they say. But then what did Krishnamurti say? Meditation is effortless. What is the meaning of effortless? No effort. Means no trying, no doing, understand not? And who arise the effort? The thought. The thought create meditation, create method, technique. And the thought meditate. The instrument that he used, which is thought-based, want to meditate to realize a state that is beyond itself. I ask you, possible or not? That's why that thought must silence. When it is no longer deluded, when it realizes itself and cease, when it realizes that all these are creating stress and suffering, they are all not real, dependent originating, condition arising, like the Heart Sutta say. When Kuan Yin Bodhisattva was cultivating the Prajna Paramita Sutta, he illuminated the five skandhas. What did he see? The five skandhas were all? Ah! Then you somehow, wow! Got this Dhamma, that Dhamma, chase here, chase there. scrubs, cling. Oh, wow, this type of experience is beautiful. You know? Not to say you cannot have it, the form of mind can have it, but do not be deluded by it. Understand? These are conditioned arising state. Then when you have the understanding and the wisdom, you get to experience them. You get to live that type of life, which is the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Yeah. And all this can happen, can be beautiful. And even though it's within the phenomenal world, the conditioned world, the existential world, things are impermanent, not real, leading to suffering. But there is still life. Understand? When you have wisdom connected to the form and mind, it's no longer deluded, there's no more suffering. That's why there is meaning to life. Life can be beautiful. Then you can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then you can truly live life to the fullest. And this is within your capability when you develop this type of understanding and wisdom. That's why the Dhamma is very beautiful. That's why Heart Sutta say, when you realize true emptiness, life is wonderful. Chen Kong Miao Yu. Okay? Hopefully this revision will bring forth the clear understanding. Then by March, the retreat, you are ready. This retreat, I tell you, a lot of people will develop a lot of understanding and very good transformation. Mm. Okay, what's the time? Wow, 10:30 already. So fast, huh? Very good. Yeah, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this one is specially for the year. So a very good farewell to 2016. Actually, the last 3 years has been beautiful for Kayanamitas. The Dhamma really flourished within the Kayanamita. And the last 2 years, since beginning of 2015, or actually end of 2014, when all the requests came in, the Bodhisattva Way actually started 2 years ago. I remember it was end of, after my birthday, the gathering of Kayanamitta, I remember. Then the nature sensed it. Then a lot of people wrote to me about Bodhisattva Way. All of a sudden, no. Then I realized something is happening, really. That's why after that, I replied. Then suddenly, Padma Suri also asked me. Then I said, oh, like that. Then we had a session where he requested for a special puja to develop understanding of the Bodhisattva Way. That's why that puja was a very special one. Then I spoke the Bodhisattva Way for the first time. Then after that, you all took the vow almost 1 year later, I think. Then the vow was repeated because Su requested it a second time. So now somebody is doing the transcript, Panchi and Gladi. So if that transcript come out, I tell you, it is going to be a great source of understanding to go this way, and Dhamma will flourish again, and a lot of things will become beautiful after that. So hopefully that three talk transcript will come out. I will compile into just one book on the Bodhisattva Way. And that one is going to be very, very beautiful, very comprehensive. Okay, let us do the sharing of merits. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed and let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then let us share all these merits with all the beings, starting with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana. Itta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones in the very end. Yeah, I almost forgot. The partial transcript that I sent out, it has not been edited for spelling check, all those things as yet. It was the first edited draft. So don't share that one with other people, just for your own reading. Wait till the full one come out, then if you want to share, you can. But this one, because I just finished it and I haven't checked, then just now when I went through, I saw some spelling mistake and repeated words and all those things. So I will still need to clean it up a bit. But nevertheless, the whole content is there. What I read to you is there. Okay? Yeah. Panchi. Yeah. Because she volunteered that Sunday class. I spoke in the class. I said, this one, you can, someone can help to do the transcript. It will help a lot of people. Because that particular chapter, I tell you, I also didn't know Hui Ling spoke about this type of meditation inside there until I read it. Then I realized, oh, so beautiful. That's why at that time, Hui Ling was able to actually bring forth the clear understanding to allow the Mahayana teaching to flourish again. That's why after him, the Buddhism flourished again. And he is really good. He take you direct to the silent mind, the true mind, the straightforward mind. No need to go through the training, the thought-based meditation and all those things. No need to practice. Because it shows you clearly what meditation is. Don't go and waste your time doing all those things. But people who don't understand, they have to go through that because they got no choice. Because your spiritual faculty is not there, what can you do? And the hindrances are there. So what they do is they practice, practice, and practice to actually hold back the mental hindrance. That's why they are all suppressed. Anusaya, latent tendency, not rooted out, suppressed down there. And they develop energy field, calmness, stillness. Then try to be mindful in the midst of life after they have that jhana, I would say. Then they hold on to the jhana for 24 hours. That is not the free mind. That one you cannot be tested. You cannot liberate the mind. But later on when you get old, when you no more energy to do all those jhana, to maintain those mind state, energy field, then you realize your mind is very different from what you think. Then it starts to develop all the confusion again. Then the fear, the anxiety surface again. Then they really have fear at that time, not understanding why it's still like that. Then they try to use the Dhamma knowledge to hold on and to go through. But then when the form and mind cease, not cease, when you die, when consciousness come out, it's a totally different thing. Because the last thought moment you cannot understand, you cannot deal, then most people, you lose control of your consciousness before you die, because that mindfulness not done, the stability of mindfulness. If you cannot be mindful in the midst of life, you don't know how to die. But if you have that type of mindfulness, it's very easy to die. Your no one die. The awareness is there. It can never die. Yeah. And that one with understanding and wisdom is totally different. It stand out. It has nothing to do with the conditioned world. Okay. Better end here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, big sadhu to all those that make the puja offering tonight. Actually, last month, 27 November, when I was delivering this sutta, inside there, they was telling me here, the nature said, you better tell them to transcribe it. He said, that's why I said, I hinted to them. When I hint to you, you better make sure it's done. Otherwise, it will be lost. It's nothing to do with my nature. So whether it's there or not there, not important. But it looks like this nature cannot stop, understand? Because the condition is there, it's coming out. I tell you, a lot of things is coming out. Because people are ready, like I shared on the Tuesday class. Luckily, that part was recorded. But the last part, Jin Hao, recorded it. Otherwise, gone now. You go and listen to the Tuesday one. I mentioned all this. And one thing that I told them, you know, very beautiful was, I said, 10 years from now, if most of us still around, I tell you, when we sit around and discuss the Dhamma, it will be a totally different one, I tell you. You will have a lot of joy. Then that time you look back, wow, really? It's amazing. Then like Polian said, we were so lucky because of your karmic affinity and your past. And a lot of things you cannot understand. Now you look at this life alone, you understand. How much affinity has you cultivated with this nature, with the Kayanamitta? And I tell you, these are the seed that you have planted, causes and conditions. And in future, it's going to flourish. And you have the window, the sasana, the condition and the understanding. And you make those affirmations and take those bodhisattva vows seriously. Your whole destiny is already set, understand? Not only this life, life after life. Then you become very beautiful, very fast. Like I explained in the Tuesday class. How can Sakyamuni Buddha, before he met Dipankara Buddha, met 84 billion Buddhas, Samasa Buddha? You think it's a friction? You think it's a joke? It's not a joke, I tell you. When you have the understanding, when you perfected the Adhitthana, I tell you, they say the number of Buddhas in this universe is like the countless sand on the Ganges. Understand? Because Nibbana cannot be full. Understand? It's not the conditioned world where the prison can be full or pure land can be full. There is no such thing as overcrowded one. Because it's just cessation. And all this, you will never understand until later when your nature shines forth. Then when you connect back, then everything falls into place. That's why I say 10 years from now, mark it on your calendar. 2026, we shall gather, maybe Suyan's house, Mifong's house. Then I tell you that order is different, I tell you. Okay. Oh, still around 70 something on here. Not too old, huh? Early 70s. Huh? How many of you already 71? Nobody, yeah. Huh? I think we are among the oldest. Oh, yeah, there. Huh? Yeah. Oh, they 1 year older only. Mrs. Ho is very old. If she is here, nobody can fight her. Ji Wei also very old, but Mrs. Ho older. Ji Wei is also 78. Yeah. That's why you all still have time. Very lucky. Okay, we better end. Sahadu, sahadu, sahadu. Just to give you all understanding so that your faith can be strong. That's why I say this window worth it. How many years? You don't have to strive long. You set everything this life, all of your future birth taken care of, then your perfection beautiful. Then if you have to come or choose to come, you will be beautiful too. Understand? Huh? Well, this nature went through, that's why it know. And this is the thing that you can share with the world. Okay, better stop, otherwise you won't end.